So I've experienced this as a dad, and you may have experienced it as a parent, or maybe you've been on the other side of it and experienced it as a kid toward your parents. But my kids at times are ashamed of me, right? And so we like to do dance parties in our house, and so we'll turn on the music and we'll get crazy and I'll dance silly with the kids and stuff. But try to do that in public, right? How do your kids react when you do that, right? And so I at times threaten to do it in public just to see them squirm a little bit. So Clark doesn't always like what I listen to on the radio either. And so at times I'll be driving them to school and I'll have something turned up and I'm listening to it. And before he jumps out of the car so nobody can hear it, he turns the radio down, right? Because he's ashamed of maybe being associated with whatever I'm listening to. Kids are funny, right? Paul is encountering in his ministry people that were ashamed of the gospel or the fullness of God's gospel. Christians who were scared to share it because they were scared to be associated with it. And so let's look at Romans chapter 1, starting in verse 16. It says this: "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith. As it is written, the righteous shall live by faith." And this is the word of the Lord. Praise be to God. So we know about Paul before he became Paul. He was called Saul. But he was very zealous for the Jewish teachings of the time, right? He was a Pharisee. And so there was a legalism in him where he thought that he could live the law perfectly so that he could earn righteousness by how he lived, right? And so he was very zealous for that teaching to the point where if there was somebody teaching something other than that within the understanding of Scripture, he wanted to stamp it out. And so we see that play out in his life where he's persecuting the Christian church because he believes what the Christian church is teaching goes against what he was taught as he grew up in the Jewish faith, right? And so he was zealous, and it persecuted the church. It hurt the church. But once he became a follower of Christ, his zealousness became a gift. Right? And so he was zealous to spread the news of the gospel, and it made him very influential in the growth of the church, in the early church, as he traveled and he taught. In verse 16 it says, in the first part, it says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel." I have three questions. Why is he saying this? What is he responding to? And why is he so excited to teach the gospel? So let's first look at why is he saying this. Well, he wants to encourage people to teach the gospel in its fullness. There is so much beauty in the gospel that if you take any part away from it, you mess it up. He says, "I'm not ashamed of the fullness of what God has shown me through Christ revealing it to me directly about his love for me." And so he's wanting people to see how passionate he is, to encourage them to do the same. He doesn't want people to shy away from the message, and he wants others to teach the same way he does. What is he responding to? Well, he's most likely running into a situation where Christians are scared to share their faith. In the early church, we see that the Christians are ostracized. They're hated. You know, they're persecuted. Some are murdered for their faith. And what are the reasons that they're murdered for their faith? Well, in Roman times, one of the things that I learned through church history is that at times the Romans would believe that Christians were cannibals, right? Because they're taking the Lord's Supper, they're eating flesh and drinking blood, right? So that didn't add up to them. I think it was a leap. If they had actually seen the practice, they would have understood what was going on. But they believed they were cannibals. The other thing that the church was really kind of hammered on was that they were believed to be unpatriotic. The early church, they put an emphasis on living for Christ, and their citizenship in Rome came second. And because of that, people were saying they aren't loyal to Caesar, they aren't loyal to the state of Rome, and because of that, they are unpatriotic and they deserve to be rooted out and killed. And so here are these circumstances of danger that are surrounding the church, and because of these situations, people are hiding and they aren't sharing. They're worried to share because if they're outed, their life was in danger. They're ashamed to let people know what they believe or why they follow Christ, because it ostracized them, right? So the third question is, why is he so excited to teach the gospel? Well, it's the gospel of Christ. It's the gospel of Christ. He was an educated man. He was a Pharisee, so he knew the scriptures really, really well. And as he grew in his stature, right, he was able to give himself over to what the Jewish people taught. And he didn't recognize, just as many Jewish people did, they didn't recognize who Christ really was. They didn't recognize Christ as the Messiah. Right? They would go back and they would look at scriptures and they would say, okay, we know that a Messiah is coming because God has promised it. But we've created a Messiah in our brains that doesn't match up with who Jesus Christ said he was. They were looking for a worldly Messiah, somebody that was going to come and be a militaristic leader and destroy all their enemies. Right? What they didn't realize is that their spiritual enemy was far more vicious, far more formidable than any worldly enemy that they might encounter. So he initially, like many Jewish people, failed to understand who Christ was. But once it was revealed to him by Christ himself, he recognized Jesus as the promised Messiah. Others missed it because they were looking again for worldly deliverance. They had created in their minds an image of what God had promised, and Christ didn't add up. And now that he recognizes who Christ is, he sees the message of the gospel is crucial to share. The whole world needs to hear it. So, Paul didn't realize for a large portion of his life that his actions were offensive to God. He didn't realize he was a sinner. Okay? So this man moves from saying, you know what, I can earn my way to heaven by my actions as a Pharisee. I can live out the law to the extent that God will save me. And so he didn't realize how offensive that was to God. He didn't realize that God was the only person, only being that could save him. And so basically, I want to come to this illustration of a lot of times, you know, people are able to say, okay, I'm a good person. Right? There's really, I don't have that many flaws. And so if I don't have that many flaws, I don't really need to be saved all that much. I don't. Okay? And so because they have tiny sins, they need a tiny Savior. A little bitty Savior. But as they come to know who they really are, when they start to realize how sinful they really are, they see that their Savior grows. And by the day, if we are following after Christ and our sin is being revealed to us, our Savior grows and grows and grows. And so here is Paul thinking he didn't need a Savior at all, and now all of a sudden Christ reveals to him, you are a sinner. And he recognizes that he is the chief of sinners. He says so himself. And he realizes that his Savior went from this tiny little Savior to being this great, huge Savior that he can't even begin to understand how massive his Savior is. So, his shortcomings become apparent. He recognizes a need for Savior. He begins to understand grace. And in verse 16, it says, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. The power to save isn't in the hands of the person looking to be saved. It's not up to me to save myself. It's not up to me. It isn't by works. It is a gift from God. Faith and belief is a gift from God that is a means by which we are saved. God and God alone saves his people. He saves us by revealing his truth to us. He saves us by his grace. We don't save ourselves. And when we start to understand grace, we are more able to praise him for what he's done for us. It helps us to set our hearts on fire for God. Paul, when he came to know Christ, what did he do? He went as far as he could walk to tell everybody he could about who Jesus Christ was. Why did he do that? It's because he finally understood the price that God paid for him. God sacrificed his only son. Jesus willingly went to the cross to pay the price for our sins. Could y'all imagine sending your child or your spouse, grandchild, a good friend? Could y'all imagine sending them to their death to save somebody who spit in your face? No, I can't. No, there's no way I would do that. But we were undeserving of God's love because we had sinned against him mightily, far greater than we can understand. And he did something that we can't understand at all. And the fact that he sent Christ to the cross to shed his blood and then apply that blood to us to wash us clean of our sins, to make us righteous in his sight. God's sacrifice for us is unfathomable. It's hard to understand, but he reveals it to us by his grace. So that when we see how wonderfully we are loved by him, we are set on fire to go and share his truth. So now, Paul realizes that the gospel is the only means to salvation. He now sees how desperate the world is to hear of God's grace, and he now has the zeal to teach it passionately to the corners of the earth. He's eager to share because people need to hear it. He's zealous. He's zealous because the world needs to know how much God loves. In verse 16, it says, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. What he's saying here is that the news was shared first with God's chosen people. So the early church was almost exclusively, the very earliest part of the church, was almost exclusively made up of Jewish believers. Right? And then those Jewish believers were given the task to take God's love, to take God's gospel to the rest of the world. And that's what Paul is doing. He's saying God gave us this job to not exclude the nations, but to include them in his people. And so I have been called to go to the Greek and to the Gentile. Greek isn't just meaning going to the Greeks in Greece. It's to the Gentiles. It's to everyone that he could possibly reach. He is the messenger of God taking the word to the whole world. In verse 17 it says, for in the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. God applies his righteousness to all those who have faith, and he reveals faith to people through his Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit's work in those people. So, we have favorite things, don't we? We have favorite people, right? We have favorite places to go. We have favorite shows and movies. We have favorite food. And I'm going to say that I can be counted as guilty in this. There are foodies out there that will take pictures of their food. They'll post it on Facebook, Instagram, and any other outlet they can to show people, look what I'm eating, look how awesome this is, right? And I do that. I have done that in the past, right? It seems that there are some things that are more popular to share and other things that aren't as popular to share, you know, during certain, you know, election cycles, it might be unpopular to share what you believe as far as your political views are, right? But we are all zealous about certain things. What are you zealous about? Are you zealous about the food you have? Are you zealous about the movies or the shows that you watch? Are you willing to share all those things? I love to tell people about desserts that I find. You know, I like desserts. And if it's a good dessert, I'll tell people about it. And say, hey, you need to try this out. So what are the things that you're zealous about? What are the things that you are ashamed of people knowing about you? Have you thought about that? In our society, it's becoming less and less acceptable to be a follower of the fullness of the gospel. It is. We aren't being persecuted in the way that other people are being persecuted around the world, but what we teach, what we believe, what the gospel says, what Scripture says, is becoming less acceptable. So, it's okay to share some of the Bible. It's okay to share the stuff that doesn't offend anybody. It's not okay to talk about the stuff that might hurt somebody's feelings. We are increasingly, as a society, becoming more and more able to take and leave certain parts of Scripture. And we've left the idea of sin up to the person to determine what is sin and what is not. Instead of looking to God's Word and seeing what He says, I'm going to talk a little bit more about this next week. Right? But people are picking and choosing what to believe from Scripture and saying that that's okay. And that's how the devil works. What he does is he takes Scripture, he bends something out of context, he makes it something that it's not, and then he says, this is truth. It's deception. It's complete deception. And basically what is happening is that if you teach anything other than that, what you're saying is that I'm ashamed to teach the fullness of what God teaches us. We are all sinners. Right? We are all sinners in need of a Savior. There's nothing different about us than anybody else. We are all sinners in need of a Savior. And the beauty of the gospel is that God provided one in Jesus Christ and what He did for us so that we don't excuse our sin, but we grieve it knowing what price He paid for it. And again, we get caught up into this trap of trying to lessen our sins so that we have a tiny Savior. In order to be accepted, we've compromised and missed out on grace that's offered to us by God. We try to bury the gospel. Some people who go to church don't want people to know the next day that they were there. They're ashamed to be associated with it. And this isn't how we're called to live. We're called to give everything that we have to make His name known. Think about the disciples. Think about Paul. They sacrificed everything. They walked away from family and career to follow after Him, to teach the trueness of the gospel, because they knew that it brought life, not just to them, but to all those who would hear it and receive it. It's good news, not just for us, but for the entire world, and we need to share it. Are you ashamed to share the gospel? Be humbled. Be humbled before God. Allow your pride to be taken away so that you can fully understand His grace. Think less of yourself and think more of God and share the fullness of His truth. Allow His name to be magnified above all others. Okay, so I changed my sermon this morning because Jenny shared with me a song yesterday by Casting Crowns. It's called Nobody. I love this song. I heard it and we've played it a couple of times. And it's perfect for what we're talking about here, all right? And so the first part of it's humorous, and then it gets into the meaning of what Paul was talking about. Moses had stage fright, and David brought a rock to a sword fight. Right? You picked 12 outsiders nobody would have chosen, and you changed the world. Well, the moral of the story is everybody's got a purpose. So when I hear the devil start talking to me saying, "Who do you think you are?" I say, "I'm just a nobody. I'm nothing. I'm a nobody trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul." God saved our souls. God provides an eternal life through our faith in Jesus Christ. And if that isn't a good enough news to share with the entire world, I don't know what else is. Right? Trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. "Ever since you rescued me, you gave my heart a song to sing, a message that is worthy of sharing to the corners of the earth. I'm living for the world to see nobody but Jesus. I'm living for the world to see nobody but Jesus. I'm a nobody. I have done nothing worthy of people remembering after I'm gone. And I'm okay with that. I'm perfectly okay with that because I know that through my faith in Jesus Christ, God's name is magnified and I get to be a part of His eternity, of His eternity. I'm a nobody, but I know whose name should be lifted up. It should be lifted up high and shared and remembered. Even after I'm dead and gone. So don't be ashamed to live boldly in the truth that you belong to Him and that the world needs to know who He is, not just a watered down version of what somebody might say. They need to know the fullness of God's gospel because it has the power to save your life and the lives of all the others that come to know Him. Amen.